I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Bucks game is over. And now it's time for the longest running postgame show in Milwaukee. Hear from the players.
Bledsoe, 12 points in the second half.
The head coach.
Again, his speed, you can't teach speed. You know, he knows how to use it.
And the fans. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show, presented by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza. Now, here's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome in. Bucks lose. Bucks lose, 131 to 127. The Raptors over the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Raptors now still with one loss at home. Bucks had a chance at it, even with DeMar DeRozan having a career night tonight. And he did have a career night tonight, did DeMar DeRozan. 52 points for DeMar DeRozan, and it still took the Raptors in overtime to beat the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. And again, the Bucks may have had one of the greatest defensive possessions they've had there towards the end of regulation against the Raptors, forcing a 24-second violation. So that was impressive. You really did this without Giannis having a great game. He had 11 points there in the third quarter and then got going. Eric Bledsoe had a nice night, obviously, 5 of 7 from 3. He had 29 points. Tonight, Thon Maker, back at home in Canada, 16 points, 3 of 4 from 3. Maker was huge tonight for this Bucks basketball team. Brogdon with 15. Dellavedova, 10 assists, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. Scored a ton of points. 127. But as has been the motto for this Bucks team since mid-November, it's just never enough. It just never seems to be enough. Always seem to give up more than you score. Can have the best offensive night in the world, and you give up even more than that. Doesn't it feel that way? Does it feel that way to anybody else besides me? Then no matter how many points this team scores lately, it doesn't seem to matter. This would have been a great win for this Bucks team. A, it was a team that you lost to in the playoffs last year. B, it's a team that only had one loss at home all year. C, it's a team in your conference that you'll be competing with come playoff time, hopefully. All of this would have been good. And it would have got you to 5 games over .500, 20-15. That would have been nice too. Instead, now you're 19-16, and you're only 3 games over .500. Each win, each loss, 2-game swing. That's how it is all year. It's not going to change. That's how it goes. 127 points, and you lost. Now, the positive Bucks fan will look at this and go, "But Sparky, DeRozan needed all 52 points to beat you." Lowry had 26 for him. Their bench, which has been so good for him this year, didn't do all that great against you tonight. Van Vliet had a couple threes against you and almost choked it away at the free throw line at the end of the game. And while that is true that it took all of DeRozan's points, anybody else concerned about giving up as many points as they are? I mean, I'm telling you, we will go over this. I went over this on the big show. I believe it was Friday. We'll go over their game log since middle of November up until the last game when they gave up less than 100. They hadn't given up 100 or less than 100, I think, since like November 20th. And I realize these are the wild, wild west days of the NBA where everybody's scoring a ton of points. I get it. But goodness gracious, guys, you just got to be better than you are sometimes. They've got to get better. They just do. They have to get better defensively. It was a good effort tonight. They played with him. DeRozan gets off to a 9-0 start on the Bucks. 9-0. He by himself was way up on him. Bucks didn't give up. Bucks didn't quit. Bucks kept battling. Always good to see. this was a good basketball team. They hadn't lost a game or lost one game all year at home, and at the end of the day, they figure out a way to win it, and the Bucks couldn't figure out a way to stop DeMar DeRozan. And then when they run a double at DeMar DeRozan, what does DeMar DeRozan do? Passes to Kyle Lowry. What does Kyle Lowry do? Takes a wide-open three and buries it. That's what Kyle Lowry does. And again, you can sit there and say, well, Middleton shouldn't have left Lowry. Okay. But with the way DeRozan was going, I'm telling you, even with the double, he might have hit a shot. He was just lights out tonight. What much are you going to do about DeMar DeRozan tonight? What much are you going to do, probably? It's just frustrating. That's all. Just frustrating. Just really, really frustrating. Ted Davis, voice of the Milwaukee Bucks, will be joining us here in a little bit on the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show, presented to you by Palermo's King Frozen Cheese Pizza. Had myself a Palermo's pepperoni pizza for dinner tonight. Had myself a Italian sausage Palermo pizza last night. Actually, it was this morning, Mitch. It was at about 1 a.m. I had the Palermo's Italian sausage pizza.
A little celebration pizza for the new year?
Just nobody would go to bed in our house. So just gave up and made a pizza instead and said the heck with it. Watching Disney Junior and having pizza. Boy, oh boy.
Sounds like a crazy New Year's
at
the Sparky household.
There's not a better way to bring in New Year's than that way. I wanted to be sleeping. That didn't happen. Okay, Mayor Mitch, full phone lines. Bucks lose. Where are we going?
Let's go to the south side and talk to Joel. Joel, you're up first on the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. What's up, Joel?
Hey, what's going on? When I'm watching this game and then when I've watched games this year, I get frustrated with Middleton. You know, he's obviously probably their second best player. You know, him and Bledsoe now may be like 2A, 2B. But to me, going forward, I don't think Middleton can be your second best player. I think ideally he's the third best player. So if the Bucks plan to keep Jabari, then I say keep Middleton. But if the Bucks know, or if they need to wait and see what they have with Jabari, if they're going to ship Jabari, then I say get rid of Middleton and try to get something. I can't stand Middleton. When I watch him, I feel like he almost thinks it's his team, even though, you know, he can't think that because it's Giannis' team. But I don't know if it's because he's older or whatever the case, but it's like, and I get it, Giannis can't shoot, so Middleton's a shooter, but
hey, Giannis is getting better shooting now. Let's be fair to Giannis. I mean, he is getting better. He is improving.
He's getting better, and I like that he's taking shots. Obviously, he wants to get to the hole, but I like that he's taking it with confidence. But I just don't think Middleton can be your second-best player. And he's young, so Middleton's 26, but to me, he's not getting better. Like, this is who he is. You know, he's a solid player, and he could be a contributing player.
Were you watching Fox Sports Wisconsin tonight?
Yeah, I was.
Did you hear Gus Johnson ask Marcus Johnson, so, Marcus, what are the Bucks going to do when Jabari comes back here after the All-Star break? You're going to have Middleton. Does he go to the bench, or does Jabari come off the bench? Well, what do you do? And Marcus Johnson started laughing and said, well, you know, that's going to be up to Coach Kidd. And Gus Johnson, I think, knew what the answer was because Marcus and him, I'm sure, probably talked about it off the air. And Marcus didn't want to talk about it on the air. And Gus gave him some crap about, you know, bailing on the question. So obviously they know what they're going to do, the Bucks do. And I'm sure people in the organization do have an idea of what's going on. But that tells me, without knowing anything, that they're all three of those guys probably aren't going to be on the floor together. Because originally it should have been Bledsoe, Middleton, and then Jabari, Giannis, and Henson. That should be the starting five. But based on the line of questioning from Gus to Marcus and Marcus's reaction, I'm guessing one of those two guys are going to be coming off the bench, either Middleton or Jabari.
I mean, this year I like Jabari coming off the bench just so we can get his feet wet. Moving forward, if Jabari's going to be on the team, I mean, I guess I can't see Middleton coming off the bench, but if you had to bring one of the two off starting next year, I would say Middleton.
I'm with you. I don't think Middleton is necessarily big three guy as far as he's your third best big three, you know, player that's going to go win an NBA championship. Now, there is a belief that Jabari can score as well as a lot of people in this league when healthy for a full year and might be able to be that number two guy. And then the debate then becomes Middleton or Bledsoe, or either one of them good enough to be a member of a big three to win an NBA championship. Don't know. And I guess we won't know until we get further along. Thanks for the call. And see, that's just it, though. I mean, from the Bucks standpoint right now, I don't think it matters. I don't. You got these guys all under contract. What needs to happen is you need to find out whether or not you want to keep Jabari Parker at a ton of money. That's what you need to find out between now and the end of the year. Because he's going to get to restricted free agency. Some team with a ton of money, Philly, who knows, is going to offer him a bunch of money. And then you're going to have to match or not match. And then from that point on, you're going to determine what you're going to do. This DeAndre Jordan crazy talk is simply crazy. And I'm here to tell you once again it's crazy if you hadn't hurt me in the past. You cannot, let me repeat, you cannot have DeAndre Jordan be a member of a Big Three and win a championship in this league. It will never happen. Quote Sparky. Will never, ever, ever happen. Because you cannot pay that guy $30 million a year and then go get two other guys and go, oh yeah, you'll win. He had two superstars with him in Blake Griffin and Chris Paul. Couldn't figure it out. They put shooters around him. They did all kinds of stuff. He doesn't do enough offensively to justify the amount of money you're paying him. And in this league, as you can see, 131 and 127 loss for the Bucks. You need guys that can score the basketball. And right now, the Bucks have what? This top scoring trio in the Eastern Conference or whatever with Milton, Bledsoe, and Giannis? Okay, good. Now you're going to add Jabari Parker back to this mix. And you're really going to have a ton of scoring. A ton. So maybe, at the end of the day, this defense, or lack thereof, won't matter for the Bucks because they're just going to outscore everybody, throw up 130 a night, and try and outscore everybody. Be the Suns of the 90s, just try and outscore everyone, and then when you get to the playoffs, hope and pray to God you can continue to do when the defense is locked down on you. Jabari Parker's offense, if he's right, from all indications, everything I've heard, he's right. If he's right, that should be 15 and 20 a night easy. Easy to go along with what you have. The issue will be is ball distribution, not letting any of these guys get into one-on-one basketball and not passing and them trying to get their own numbers. That's going to be the trick, to play unselfish basketball with all these guys on the floor at the same time. But as far as who comes off the bench, who's a big three guy and all that other stuff, the coming off the bench stuff, if I'm Jabari Parker, I say absolutely no way, no how I'm going to do that. I'm playing for a contract this summer. Milton has his money. He's got all of next year left before he has to play for his deal. So I ain't coming off the bench. You go talk to Chris and see if he wants to come off the bench. I'm not doing it. And Jabari Parker is one of the most unselfish guys you'll come across. But at some point, he's got to be selfish. It has to be about him. And this is when he has to be about Jabari Parker. Regardless of whether you like him or not, that's what he should do right now. All right, Mayor Mitch, where to next?
Let's go to Kakana and talk to Aaron. Aaron, you're up next. What's up, man?
What's up, Aaron?
Hey, Sparky. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
I'm really disgusted at Jason Kidd's rotation. Why the heck is Dele out there? Why is Snell not out there? You could have another 3-point shot person out there. Why is Dele playing?
Because I'll tell you why. Because Dellavedova distributes the basketball and finds guys open for shots. He's a better passer, obviously, than Snell.
He likes Brogdon and Bledsoe.
Well, I understand. You asked me a question. I'm just trying to tell you.
It's frustrating having 3-point guards on the floor at the same time.
You don't have to come at me about Dellavedova. It's not like I wanted Dellavedova out there. I'm just telling you why they have Dellavedova out there, and that's the reason. He wants ball movement. He wants unselfish play. And you have your three best guys out there to pass the basketball. That's why they're out there. Thanks for the call. Like, don't get mad at me. You ask me a question, I give you the answer, and then you want to fire on me. Like, I'm Kidd. I'm not Jason Kidd. I'm not. He's got a Twitter account. Go tweet at him. Don't come at me. Settle down. It's New Year's Day. It's 2018. That's how we're going to start it off? Mitch's over there just laughing.
Well,
ha, ha, ha.
I mean, you're right. You gave a decent answer, and apparently...
I was sitting over there. What was I saying about Dellavedova? Was I happy that he was out there? No, but I'll explain to you why he's out there. I get the logic behind. I may not agree, but I get the logic of why he's out there.
I mean, he had 10 assists tonight.
Sure, and he had like 9 or 10 assists the last night. That's good, right? And if that's what you want out of that position for $9 million a year, then God bless you. You're getting it. 2, 3, 4, 5 times a year, he's doing great. But as you can tell, if you've never listened to the show before, I'm not a Dellavedova fan. Never have been, never will be. I think they overpaid him for one game that he had in the playoffs a couple years ago, and now we're stuck with him. And that's fine. And I'll tell you something else. All of the Dellavedova love, the five people that love him in this town, or however many of you are that still love him, if anybody else in this league loved him, they would have traded him by now. Promise you. But everybody looks at that dude and says, $9 million to be my third point guard or whatever it is? Nah, I'm good. So they have him. Now, what does he give you? Gives you grit, gives you good hustle and energy, right? He tries hard. He's a try-hard player.
Basketball IQ.
Yeah, he's a try-hard player. Makes some dumb decisions from time to time, but this whole team does. So you can't get him on him too much about that. God, some of the passing on this team drives me crazy. But, I mean, that's him. Occasionally he'll hit a three, right? And I'll get you excited. But that's about it. So, you know, it is what it is. You knew what you were signing up for when you did. And if you didn't, and I don't know what the Bucks thought they were signing up for, but it is what it is, and you just got to go with it. But the reason he was out there was unselfish play, move the basketball. That's why he was out there, plain and simple. All right, where to next match?
Let's go to the north side and talk to Ed. What's up, Ed?
Hi. Well, first thing is Dellavedova was a +5 tonight, and Tony Snell in 18 minutes was a -15.
Tell me something. So, how much do you care about plus-minus? You think that's a big stat?
I think it's a huge stat.
I'll tell you it's a garbage stat. And if you want, you can call in every night, and we'll go over plus-minus numbers. And when Giannis has those minus numbers, you can tell me how he's awful that night. We can have that conversation. There are plenty of guys in the NBA that think that stat's garbage, and they don't understand why it's even in the box score. There are so many things that go into that plus-minus number, it's ridiculous as far as who you're on the court with, who's on the court against you at that same point. It's a complete garbage stat because if you're out there, if it's Dellavedova out there and four G League guys against a starting five of another team and he has a plus-minus of -20 or whatever, well, that's not fair to Dellavedova. He had nobody around him, and they were playing against much better players than him.
So Dellavedova was a +5, though, Steve. Not the other way.
No, I understand that.
Listen
to me. I understand what you're saying. I'm just telling you, there are so many factors that go into that number, makes it a garbage stat. That's all I'm saying. You can like it and love it if you want, but I think if you had a chance to talk to guys around the league that look at that stat and they just throw it out because there's way too many scenarios and factors that go into it. But go ahead. That's your argument for Dellavedova, so that's fine.
I mean that's just one thing. Right. The other thing is they play dumb in general.
I mean, Giannis was a -6. So should he have been on the bench in place of Thon Maker, who was +6 tonight? Brogdon was +9. Thon should he be on the floor? I mean, Giannis was
out there more. Not more than Giannis.
Giannis was -6, so he was horrible tonight. Middleton was -8; he was horrible. Bledsoe was -9; he was garbage. So should the starting five have not played in the fourth quarter?
They didn't play part of the fourth quarter, but when the game was on the line, they didn't win.
I'm just saying, but if you're using the plus minus numbers based on that, if Kidd used that as his formula, Giannis never would have got back into the game. Middleton wouldn't have come back in, nor would Bledsoe.
Well, normally Giannis has got a huge plus thing. Giannis is way high in plus minus, but that's not the only thing. What I'm saying is that they played dumb, you know, at the end of the game. I mean, Middleton going over for the double team of DeRozan out in the middle where he can't help with anybody else, leaving Lowry wide open at 56 seconds for the game tying three.
But wait a second.
That's dumb.
Why? Why did they leave him open for three? What happened?
Leave him open for three.
They did, yes, but why? What happened? What did Middleton do? Middleton left him to go double who?
Well, he went to double a good player, but you can't
a
leave
good
him.
Player. He had 50 points.
The other guy.
He had 50
the other
points.
Guy, the other guy had close to 30, and the other guy's a very consistent good three. I mean, he made the shot to tie the game.
There is.
So we know it was a bad. I mean, even if DeRozan scores two, you're still up 1 point, correct?
Yeah, if he takes two, there, yeah, sure, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's possibly takes a three, but even if his best thing, even though he's gotten much better at getting threes, his best thing is getting twos.
All right, I got to let you go. We got Ted Davis on the line. Thanks for calling in. All right, let's go inside the locker room and check with Bucks play-by-play guy Ted Davis.
Bledsoe, there it is for three. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Presented by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza, the ruler of taste. We're heading into the Bucks locker room to hear what the players saw on the court. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right. Joining us now is Ted Davis. To that last caller, DeMar DeRozan had 52 points and was +9. Brogdon also was +9 tonight. So same impact on the game from both players. I told you, and I'll tell you, that stat is garbage, that plus-minus stat. Ted, how are you doing?
By the way, I agree with you. I hate plus minus. It doesn't tell you a damn thing about the game.
No, nothing at all. It's completely pointless. I don't know why they put it in the box score, but it's garbage. Anyways, let's
By the way.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm blaming you for the loss tonight.
Why?
Because you asked that I came on, come on the pre the post game.
I did not.
No.
No, I did not. I did not ask. I did not. I simply told the PR staff that I was hosting the post game show tonight. And then they responded back and said you were coming on.
Well, that's the kiss of death.
Well, maybe, but I'm just saying I didn't necessarily request you because, to be honest with you, I didn't think they were going to win. Toronto had one loss on the year at home. I was like, they're probably not going to win this basketball game. So I figured I didn't want to jinx it. So I,
all right. When's the last time I was on with you? Do you remember?
And I haven't done a post game. I've done one post game show in like the last month, so it's been a long time.
I remember it was in Dallas.
Oh, that's right. That was awful. Yeah, that wasn't so good. Okay, so DeMar DeRozan gets 52. That is what it is, whatever the case may be. But there are some positives, I guess, in this game for the Bucks, namely the play of Thon Maker, who played like a lot of people thought he was going to play the whole year.
Yeah, at points this year, Thon seems to have backed the truck up. He seems to have regressed a little bit. I think he's lost his confidence. But, you know, in a town where he played in high school, he came out and he was great tonight. He matched his season high. The moment didn't seem too big for him. He was hitting the three-pointer when he was there. And, you know, I thought he played aggressive. So if he can play more like this, and this is the way that he was playing toward the end of last season and then on into the playoffs where you thought, okay, he's starting to make some strides. Well, this year he seems to have regressed a little bit. But tonight is, you know, the first step of maybe some positive momentum forward. So that was good. But, hey, you know, look, this was a game that could have gone any direction. I thought there were two really questionable calls when DeRozan, I said on the air, stop protecting him like the Hope Diamond. I mean, come on.
I heard you say it. Yep. Yeah.
I mean, there were two fouls where you just had minimal contact, and they put him at the line where he's 13 of 13. That gives them 4 points in a game that was basically a 1 or a 2 point game. So, okay, the guy scores 52. He has a career night. There's not a whole lot you can do about that. Sometimes a player gets the eye of the tiger, and you just can't slow him down. And it was DeMar DeRozan's night. If he has even, let's say he has his normal night, which is 24 points per game, plus 8 points, you probably still win the game. But he put up 52. That's a franchise record. You got beat by a great player tonight.
Yeah, he played great, no question about it. And your three players, Bledsoe puts up 29 points, 7 boards, 3 assists, 4 steals, 5 turnovers. Turnovers tend to be high from time to time. 18 points for Middleton, not a great night necessarily for him. But 26, 9 boards, 7 assists for Giannis. But even with Giannis got his 11th point in like the third quarter. I mean, Giannis really didn't start going until the second half of this one.
Well, he picked it up, and, you know, they're doing a good job of putting a lot of people around Giannis. If you notice when he drives to the rim, they're being physical. They're bumping him a little bit, and for whatever reason, when Giannis goes down the lane and gets bumped, he doesn't get the DeMar DeRozan treatment sometimes. It's a mystery to me. Giannis
is one of the
top 5 players
Ted,
in the game.
Ted.
It should be called evenly on both ends.
But it's not going to be. Ted, well, I was talking to Mary Mitch about this before the game because we were talking about this about DeRozan. I looked at Mary Mitch. I said, Mitch, how long has DeRozan been this good? And how long has Giannis been as good as he is? Yes, Giannis is going to get calls. I think it was you, said he was averaging like 9 free throws a game or something like that before the Minnesota game. So he's getting far more calls than he's ever gotten before in his career. Is he at the level of, you know, the top players that have been in this league doing it for 6-7 years? Maybe he's not at that level yet. But the other part that has to come with this, too, is they got to win. I mean, they got to win consistently and win in the playoffs.
Well, here's what's not happening with Giannis. And you'll see it with DeRozan. You'll see it with LeBron. You'll see it with James Harden. I call it the referees anticipating a foul, where Harden or LeBron will go down the lane and throw their arms up and yell, and the referee goes, oh, that must be a foul because it's James Harden. They anticipate a foul even when it's not. And I think DeRozan has fallen into that category. Giannis is not there yet where they just say, okay, well, if Giannis missed that shot, it's got to be a foul. I think he'll get there, but he's not there yet.
You know, the other thing, too, about this deal, and it was brought up on the Fox Sports Wisconsin broadcast, as far as, you know, when Jabari Parker comes back, what is his role going to be on this team. If you were in Kidd's situation, what would you do? Would you put him back in the lineup with Middleton at the two, Snell to the bench, or would you bring him or Middleton off the bench?
I would bring Parker off the bench to begin with because his minute limit will be around 20 minutes. So you're only going to get 10 in the first half and 10 in the second half. I'd bring him off the bench. I'd keep the starting lineup intact, and he could be your change of pace guy. He could be the guy that can come off the bench and all of a sudden get hot and maybe in a brief period of time get you 8 to 10 points per game. Now, I think his minute restrictions will probably be 10 to 15 games where – each game you can up it a little bit. In other words, it goes from 10 minutes in the first half to maybe 12 minutes in the first half, and then you know it goes 14 minutes in the first half to 14 minutes where he gets up to 25, 26 points per game. But that's going to take 2 to 3 weeks. So I would let him just ease back into it, not having to worry about starting. His defense is, we know what it is, and I think coming off the knee injury, that could be a problem. I think the defense is starting to play better, even with the score tonight. I think they're turning a corner a little bit in figuring out how hard they need to play on a nightly basis defensively. So I would bring him off the bench.
He is Ted Davis, voice of your Milwaukee Bucks. And we got to get to Sports Flash, but I'm not going to let you go without getting your thoughts on Ted Thompson. Looks like stepping aside as general manager for the Green Bay Packers. Your thoughts?
In an area that was carved out by glaciers, and that's where the Packers, that's the pace of things in Packerland, I did not believe that. I thought Dom Capers would go, but I thought there's no way that Mark Murphy or Mike McCarthy could somehow move Ted Thompson out. The glaciers are moving faster. Ted Thompson is gone. I think he's done a lot of good things, but it was time for a change, not only on the defensive side of the football, but at the GM position. And this will be a very important choice, whether they do it within or going without. They've got to hire the right guy, and this is the opportunity that they have.
But what if Ted stays in the organization, just not as general manager?
Well, he'll be in there, but he could be the Doug Melvin consultant guy, which means he calls in and you listen and you don't have to do what he says.
That's a good point. He is Ted Davis, voice of your Milwaukee Bucks. He knows all. He wants to be commissioner of the world. 131 to 127, Raptors over the Bucks tonight. Next up, the Indiana Pacers, and we'll be listening. Ted, take care.
All right, thank you. Bye.
You betcha. There he is. Ted Davis on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Great Midwest Bank, committed to personalized, common-sense lending since 1935. When you're in the market to buy, build, renovate, or refinance, discover the benefits of simply local banking. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com.
Time for Sports Flash with Mayor Mitchell. Get you caught up on the college football playoffs. An unbelievable game in the first college bowl game. Playoff game with Georgia. Just phenomenal. And Alabama and Clemson doing battle currently. Get you updated on those and tell you what happened in this Bucks thriller in overtime. They lose to the Toronto Raptors. Back after this on the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show presented to you by Palermo's King Frozen Cheese Pizza.
Hey guys, this is Jan Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks, and you're listening to the Milwaukee Bucks post-game show here on The Fan.
How did tonight's game add up? Let's go inside the box score. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video. Home entertainment and commercial audio video. Simply done right. ABCAudioVideo.com. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save post-game show.
131, 127. The Raptors are over the Bucks tonight in overtime, led by career high 52 points, 8 assists, 5 boards on 17 of 29 shooting, 5 of 9 from 3, 13 of 13 at the line for DeMar DeRozan. Plus, you add in 26 by Kyle Lowry, and it's curtains for the Bucks in overtime, 131, 127. Quickly, let's go through the box here. John Henson, 26 minutes, 4 of 8 from the floor, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, 10 points, 7 boards, 2 assists, a block, and a turnover. Giannis, 42 minutes, 9 of 18 from the floor, 1 of 3 from three-point land, 7 of 9 from the free throw line, 26 points, 9 boards, 7 assists for him. Not a single turnover for Giannis in 42 minutes. That is really good. 43 minutes for Middleton, 7 of 17 from the floor, 0 of 4 from three-point range, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 18 points, 3 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals, a block, and 2 turnovers. Bledsoe, 35 minutes, 9 of 15 from the floor, 5 of 7 from 3-point range. Gotta like that. 6 of 6 from the free throw line, 29 points, 7 boards, 3 assists, 4 steals, 5 turnovers for Bledsoe. Tony Snell, 18 minutes, 1 of 4 from the field, 0 of 1 from three-point range, 2 points, 2 boards, 1 steal, and 1 turnover. Thon Maker, 18 minutes, 4 of 8 from the floor, 3 of 4 from three-point range, 5 of 5 from the free throw line, 16 points, 4 boards, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, and 1 turnover. I would have to say this best game of the year, as far as that I can remember. You agree with me, Mitch? Probably the best game of the year for Thon?
Yeah, no yeah. doubt.
Best game of the year for Thon.
Super active, and, you know, it was like that playoff Thon showed up again. Mm-hmm. So,
Nels being in Canada.
Hopefully he can build on that.
Yeah, Malcolm Brogdon, 39 minutes, 7 of 13 from the floor, 1 of 2 from three-point range, 15 points, 6 boards, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 3 turnovers. Matthew Dellavedova, 29 minutes, 2 of 5 from the floor, 2 of 4 from three-point range, 6 points, 10 assists, 5 boards, and 1 turnover. Jason Terry, 5 minutes, scoreless on 0 of 2 shooting. Kilpatrick, who I don't understand why he doesn't play more, 1 of 3 from the floor, 1 of 2 from three-point range, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, and 5 points for him. The Bucks shoot 47.3% from the field, 49.5% for Toronto. 3-point shooting, 13 of 27 for the Bucks, good for 48%. Toronto, 14 of 33 for 42.5%. 26 of 28 from the free throw line for the Bucks, 92.9% from the charity stripe, 27 of 23 for the Raptors, 81.8%. Rebounding, Bucks out-rebound the Raptors, 43 to 40. Turnovers on the night, 12 for Toronto, 14 for the Milwaukee Bucks. However, they lose 131 to 127. Justin, North Carolina, you're next on The Fan.
What's up, Spark? Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year to you, too.
So, man, I got a couple quick things for you, man. And I got a whole lot of stuff, but I'm going to tweet half the stuff to you because I can't, you know, you only got so much time. So, first of all, I blame this loss on my daughter because we have a two-hour delay, Sparky, a two-hour delay in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's going to be 16 degrees tomorrow morning, so they're giving the kids a two-hour delay because of extreme weather conditions. Yeah, that's what we deal with out here.
Here, we had like a minus 30.
We're above zero today, so that's good.
We have a minus 30-degree wind chill at like 2 a.m. this morning. Yeah. So, yeah, that's not really extreme. That would be a heat wave if we had 16 right now.
They were coming for my head on social media because I said in my state when I went to high school, that was a nice walk to school, a mile walk to school in January.
It literally would be this week, yeah. Yep.
So she wanted the game to go into overtime, so she said we're going to brick the last play. We bricked the last play. That last play, I didn't really like it. I mean, if you can't get something with Giannis going to the basket, I feel like as hot as Bledsoe was and as hot as Middleton was, as capable as Middleton is, not as hot as he was, as capable as he is. I'm hearing a lot of hate and see a lot of stuff online about Middleton. Middleton can't do this. Middleton, listen, let's not forget, Middleton dropped 43 on the Charlotte Hornets. Middleton is very capable of scoring the ball. And if you have an opportunity at the end of the game, tie game, down one, down two, I feel pretty comfortable with Chris with the ball in his hands. And then lastly, I'm going to leave you with, I'm going to tweet you some stuff, Spark. But we talk about trade rumors, right? And everyone wants DeAndre Jordan. I don't want Jordan. I don't want any – if it's not O'Quinn, since Chicago wants to dump guys now, right? I'm cool, and you listen to their sports talk radio because I listen to it when you're off the air, and sometimes I play them back on demand. They want to get rid of Mirotic, and they want to get rid of Lopez. So Can you imagine how fortified our bench would be? Start Lopez, put Mirotic with whoever, Parker, Middleton, Snell, and let those guys just run roughshod on the second unit?
Yeah, look, I like Mirotić a lot. I'd like him. He's a good player. I can't stand Robin Lopez, and he's overpaid. But Mirotić, yeah, I'd be down for Mirotić. I wouldn't mind having him come off the bench or even start, for that matter, on this basketball team. Now, again, he's not going to be able to get out and run with these guys, so that's out of the question. But a guy that can be a spot-up three shooter and rebound the basketball a little bit, I would say he's an upgraded Mirza Teletovic. I think he's better than Mirza for sure.
So we give him Mirza and we give him a pick, and we get them both. As far as the whole Deli thing either, man, you know me, man, Sparky. When they were talking, me and you were saying on the airwaves all the time, no Deli, no Deli, no Deli. He came on board, and because he was a Buck, I didn't buy a jersey, I bought a T-shirt. And I watched, and I think he does some things good, but last thing, man, I forgot this, I'm not going to tweet this to you. So the Greensboro Swarm played the Wisconsin Herd on TV, right?
Uh-huh.
It was on NBA TV the other day, so I actually got a chance to check them out. I could have went, but I was under the weather.
I haven't seen them yet.
Xavier Munford should be on the Bucks.
Yeah.
Instant scoring.
Yep.
And Ballenboy, that guy, he's tough. He's tough as nails. I don't care if he's not 7 feet.
Well, he was on the Bucks. He sat on the bench.
He needs to stay, though. He won't get pushed around like Thon and Henson do. Like, when you go against those big dogs, like, Drumford and Adams and those guys.
Yeah, but he's not that tall. How tall is he?
He's 6'8".
Yeah, like I said, so he can't play center.
Oh, but he can block out anybody. Like, our guys are 7'2", and they can't play center either, though.
Yeah, I guess. I hate giving up that much length. But, yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. They've got a lot of scoring in that G League team right now for the Herd. They just do. They've got a bunch of guys that can score the basketball. But with all due respect, they don't play any defense in that league at all. I mean, I've watched a couple of G League games, not involving the Herds. Maybe the Herd play defense, but a couple of games I've watched in the G League, there is no defense. It's just up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. That's all it is.
But the thing that we need is we need perimeter shooting.
Right? I agree.
And Munford can come off of that screen and he hits the shot.
Yep.
He hits the shot and he can be like Kilpatrick. I think we need to make sure Kilpatrick stays too, because I remember him scoring in Cincinnati. I remember him scoring in Brooklyn. We need to make sure that we score the ball from the wings. I mean, you know, Spark, we marked – if I looked at the schedule, I would kind of call this game an L. So what do the Bucks got to do? We got to rebound. We got to get Indiana. And we got to return the message to these boys on Friday. Because DeRozan's not going to get 52 on Friday. That's a once-in-a-lifetime achievement he had.
Don't jinx us. Don't jinx us. All right, thanks for the call, man. Enjoy your 16-degree weather. All right, see you. There he is. Johnson in North Carolina. Bucks lose tonight in overtime. DeMar DeRozan gets a career-high 52. And the Bucks lose to the Raptors 131-127. Let's go to shot of the game.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Let's get tonight's Dave and Buster's shot of the game. Dave and Buster's Wauwatosa, the only place to eat, drink, play, and watch sports. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, shot of the game. We always let our other guy in the show take control of who shot of the game is going to be tonight. It's Mayor Mitch. What we're doing.
Let's go with a Giannis dunk coming out of the timeout here. The Raptors forgot to guard one of the best players in the NBA. Giannis rolls in for a dunk to tie the game at 106. This one, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin.
But the Bucks down by only three. Antetokounmpo gets to the hole. Oh, wow. Big time slam for Giannis.
There it is. Gus Johnson on the call on Fox Sports Wisconsin. Gus Johnson getting some run tonight. What do you think about that, Sparky?
That was a horrible call.
Yeah, he wasn't very excited, was he?
Play that again. I was listening to Ted Davis. I was doing work in my office. Play that again.
But the Bucks down by only three. Antetokounmpo gets to the hole. Oh, wow. Big time slam for Giannis.
Marcus Johnson said, wow. So he was into it. Gus Johnson, big time slam. But if that would have been DeMar DeRozan, wah! Screaming and yelling.
Yeah.
I think Gus Johnson is a great play-by-play guy, great national play-by-play guy. But sometimes I get frustrated with him locally. I do. Nationally, I think he's very, very good. But maybe it's because I grew up here all my life and I'm used to one style of play-by-play being spoiled by, you know, Euchre, Max McGee, and Jim Irwin. And really having the homers calling the game of really rooting for your team and not being down the line. And now I get down the line national guy, and I don't think I really like it all that much. You're a hell of a play-by-play guy, though. No knock. But, I mean, for instance, that call right there. I mean, that should have been yelling, screaming, going crazy. That was a big shot at the end of the game, right? Am I missing something?
Oh, yeah. I mean, 106. That wasn't first. Like a couple minutes left.
That wasn't early first quarter dunk.
Right. Do you think homerism is kind of a thing of the past?
Well, I don't know if it's a thing of the past. I'm telling you, that's what I want.
Saying like, you know, younger guys seem to be less. I mean, Paschke's been doing it for so long.
Well, I have no idea what everybody else wants. I'm telling you what I want.
Yeah.
What I want is a guy rooting for my team that I'm watching on TV.
I certainly prefer that myself.
I want a guy that's cheering for my team like I'm cheering for my team. I don't want a guy being down the middle calling both sides of the game equally. That's not what I want. This is a home call. Don't want you to be calling the other team as equally as this team. That's not what I want. If I wanted that, I'd turn on NBA TV. Well, can't even really do that. NBA TV usually runs one of the home announcers anyhow, so you really don't even get that. But no, I want guys cheering for my team. That's what I want. Plain and simple. Now, you're right. The younger clan of people, whatever the case may be, tend to like the national call more than the home call. Which I don't understand why they want that. Maybe they I don't know. I've never got into that. I've never asked younger people. God, I'm so old. I've never asked that question to, you know, people in their 20s or whatever. Why do you want a national call and not somebody rooting for the team?
I mean, I guess
for?
With all due respect to Jim Paschke, I think it's just when you have Gus Johnson in there, it feels a little more, I don't know, big time, or, you know, it does feel like a national game a little bit.
Usingers,
yeah.
Big time. Yeah,
I'm a big fan of Usingers.
Yeah, it's a big fan. I love Usingers myself.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so 131-127. The Raptors beat the Bucks tonight. Back after this on The Fan.
What defensive play stood out? Here's the Laborers Local 113 defensive play of the game. The Laborers Local 113, Milwaukee. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
All right, Bucks come up losers in overtime. They tried hard, though. 131-127. DeMar DeRozan leads the Raptors with 52 points. 8 assists, 5 rebounds, a steal, and a block for DeMar DeRozan. 131-127 over the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. Defensive play of the game. As always, we go to the mayor, Mitch Ross. What we got tonight?
Well, the Bucks forced a shot clock violation with 3.2 seconds left.
That was the defensive possession of the game,
yeah,
for sure.
And that was one of the best defensive possessions of the year. This one courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin.
Question to you, double DeRozan, get the ball out of his hands. I think you do. 7 to shoot. Drive sideline in the corner. Cross court, Ibaka. And they won't get it off in time. Great job by the Milwaukee Bucks defense with 3.2 to go.
There you go. Gus Johnson on the call there. A little bit better.
Now, I'm a nitpick. Dude, I know it's the Milwaukee Bucks. Great job by the Bucks defense. But see, again, when you are doing all the games, you're rolling into town for 10 or 12 games a year, you're calling it like a national game. So you're still saying the Milwaukee Bucks. Listen to Paschke. Tell me how many times you hear Paschke say Milwaukee Bucks when there's a great play.
Right. Not very
Tell much. Me how many times you hear Uecker say Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah. Never. Never.
Never. Never
Was this Gus's first game this year? I don't remember another one.
First game I remember. He may have had a couple more, but I don't remember many. If
and there Marcus was off for a long time, too. He was off for a couple weeks, I think.
So
and he came back Friday.
Yeah. And I'm just nitpicking. I understand this. I'm just telling you that in the beginning, I gave Gus fair shot. Because I think he's a great national announcer. I do. But I've given him a shot. But I've now determined No, I'm good. I'll roll with my local guys that are going to be here for all the games and everything and not just doing 10 or 12 games a year. Now, if you want to give Gus that job full time and say, hey, you're going to do all the games, you're going to do some community stuff, you're going to be here in the summertime and you're going to be out in the community and you're going to go to Usingers and the whole deal, right? Okay. You want to go meet John Gabe over at Usingers? Great guy. Just saw John the other day. Yeah, sure. I just where did I see John at? Where was I? Remember yelling at John Gabe when he yelled back? I don't remember. But John Gabe over at Usingers, go talk to him. He'll whole deal. You want to do that, Gus? I'm in. Otherwise, we're good. And I get why you did it. You get it. You did it for, hey, we're big time. We're the Bucks. Look at us. We're the new owners. We're bringing in Gus Johnson and Marcus Johnson. The Marcus Johnson hire, I love. I got no issue with Marcus Johnson hire whatsoever. That's a Buck through and through. He is both sides. He can be critical. He can be positive. Both things. You know, you can feel him cheering for your team when you're listening to the game.
He's funny.
Yes, he's very funny. So I get down with that. That I love. But the other thing, the 10-12 game thing, I've had my fill of that. Go with your play-by-play guy and be done with it. And if Paschke's your play-by-play guy, then fine. If you don't want Paschke to be your play-by-play guy, then find somebody else that's going to be your play-by-play guy that's going to be here. Here in Milwaukee. Not 10-12 game guy. I'm done with my 10 or 12 game guy. Love Gus. Nationally, all that stuff. Local stuff, I'm moving on. I don't know how many people agree with me or think I'm an idiot on this one, but I'm just telling you that I've about had my fill. 131-127, Raptors over the Bucks. Let's hear from a guy that a lot of Bucks fans have had their fill of, head coach Jason Kidd.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Let's hear from the Bucks head coach. It's time for the Coach's Corner. Sponsored by Schneider. For over 80 years, they've been offering great careers with great benefits and more home time.
visit SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE.
This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
.131-127, the Raptors over the Bucks. Let's hear from Bucks head coach Jason Kidd.
Yeah, we felt they were going to switch everything, and you know, unfortunately, we just didn't set the screens. You give them credit; they played defense, and then we couldn't, you know, get a shot off in time.
Was the play intended to get to Brogdon, or who was it trying? Who were you trying to get?
No, we were looking at Chris and Giannis. We had two options, and Malcolm was the safety. And so, understanding when they switched beforehand, we knew they were going to switch. We just didn't make the right read.
What did you see from that unit with the three-point guards, Middleton and Giannis, as you guys went down the stretch?
Yeah, I thought the guys, again, on the road in a place where they've only lost one game, gave ourselves a chance with the last possession and fought. You know, we scored almost 130 points. And so understanding our defense has to get better, and it just wasn't up to par tonight.
There was a play there with less than a minute left where looked like Chris helped off of Lowry and gave him that corner three. You know, what... Can you take us through like what's going on with the defense on a play like that?
Yeah, I think when we talked about it, we were going to come get DeRozan hot hand, make someone else beat us. Unfortunately, Chris left, and the guy that was supposed to rotate was late. And I think Van Fleet knocks down an open three.
And then you know, there was absolutely with DeRozan playing the way he was. Did you feel like, I mean, you kind of mentioned, do you feel like you have to double a guy like that and put some time just because of how much he's hurting you?
Yeah, we tried to get the ball out of his hands, and he made some great reads. And then also he got, you know, before he beat the double team and got to the basket. So we got to do a better job of executing defensively of what we're trying to do. And, you know, at some point, the guys on the floor got to know DeRozan's going. It's his ball. And we just didn't put up enough effort on the defensive side to get a stop.
After you called timeout, with a minute and a half left in overtime, you made sure to get the ball to Giannis. He hadn't really touched the ball at all in overtime. You know, how do you feel about, you know, the way the offense was running there in overtime without him touching the ball?
Well, I think that one is the offense was, we're scoring the ball. Again, we scored over 100-something points. And so does he have to touch it every time? I don't think so. I think the big thing is guys were making plays, and that should help Giannis where, you know, he's not beat down physically trying to make every play. You know, down the stretch, he can be, you know, a player that we can get the ball to. But I thought, you know, you look at Bledsoe, he had a great game. Chris Dele was setting some great screens. And so, you know, unfortunately, we just didn't make the right play at the right time.
You mentioned Dele with the screens. You know, he was really moving the ball around, 10 assists. How much of an impact did he make tonight off the bench?
I thought he was great. I thought, again, his impact on the floor, being able to keep guys organized, using the pass to get guys shots. And I think that's going to help us and make us a better team.
He kind of came up with a bunch of threes. He seemed to be bringing a lot of energy off the bench today. You know, what did you see from him tonight?
Yeah, I thought the bench was good. The bench was playing at a very high level. You know, I think they helped us get that lead. And so just understanding we got to do a better job of holding on to that lead. Ibaka makes a heck of a block when we're up five. That could take us to seven, and we turn that into a five-point play the other way when we foul and give the man one. So there's a couple plays that we can clean up and get better, and we'll see them again on Friday.
Do you feel like that block kind of changed the complexion of the game?
There's not just one play. There's over 100 plays being made. So, but that's one of the big plays they made defensively.
Coach, this is your first look at DeMar DeRozan. You've seen a lot of, but to see him tonight, the guy now making five threes in the game. How does that kind of elevate what he's bringing to the table?
Yeah, I think, again, he's dangerous. Anytime he puts on a uniform, now to be able to expand his range out to the three-point line just makes the game easier for him.
No question about it, and that's what you're trying to get Giannis to be. And now that he's able to hit that three and that outside jumper, as you can see, makes him a very, very difficult person to defend, and that's why he's played at the level he's played at all year long. And he's elevated the Raptors higher than anybody thought they would be coming into this season. Nobody thought the Raptors would be 15 games over 500 at any point this year. Not a chance anybody saw that coming, including Raptor fans. And they didn't think the bench would play as well as it did to start the season. So, and it all goes what it is. Ted Thompson, no longer the Packers general manager, according to reports. Dom Capers is definitely no longer the defensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers. All of that will be discussed on Green and Gold Tuesday tomorrow. Chuck and Winkler tomorrow morning kicks things off from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Then the big unit, Bill Michaels, statewide from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. And then, of course, the big show, we're all back together again. Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, the two former Packers, myself and Rami Makhlouf until 6 o'clock, and then Hot Stove Weekly, some Brewers baseball talk with Tim and Baby Tosh from 6 to 7. So if you're looking for some Packer talk tomorrow, it will be tomorrow, and then we'll do our Bucks Tuesday and Bucks Wednesday this week, as it will be wall-to-wall Packer stuff, I'm sure, tomorrow. Raptors beat the Bucks tonight, 131 to 127.
Hey, Bucks fans, let's get tonight's Chili's MVB. Be the first to know this standout player tomorrow morning at 8:35 during Chuck and Winkler to win free food from Chili's. Chili's, famous for burgers, ribs, fajitas, and margaritas.
All right, X Factor of the game, Thon Maker. Thon Maker, 16 points, 4 rebounds. Don't give me that look. I don't have to give it to one of their big three guys every single night. That dude played his heart out in Canada where he went to school. He doesn't put up 16 points up tonight. He puts up 2 or 3, they get killed.
So is he also your Chili's MVP?
Yeah.
All right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's got to
be... I'm cool with that.
I think he's got to be both. I don't know. I mean, that's just me. I think it's Thon Maker, because if Thon doesn't put up 16, this game never gets to overtime.
Yeah, he carried the bench for sure in that, definitely in that second quarter.
He's not... Because again, you can go, well, Bledsoe had 29 spark. Okay. Giannis had 26. Okay. But... No, I don't expect Bledsoe to get 29, okay? Yes, I agree. But he also had 5 turnovers. So you can't say he's X-Factor or MVB or anything of the sort. The one guy that played out of his mind that you didn't see coming was Thon. That was the difference. That's why they were able to hang in this game, regardless of the fact that DeMar DeRozan had 52, a career high, as the Raptors beat the Bucks tonight 131 to 127, a game that went to overtime. The Bucks now 19-16, 7-10 away from the BMO Harris Bradley Center. The Raptors now 25-10, 14-1 at home. Next up for the Bucks is the Pacers coming up on Wednesday. We'll be back on the air Wednesday after the Bucks Pacers game. How excited are you for the new arena?
It's going to be great when it opens. I know that.
You know what I find myself doing?
It's been a day, you know, it's been, I guess, kind of a dream.
last couple of weeks, I found myself really paying attention to wide angle shots on arenas inside. Before, I never really, they're just crowd shots. Who cares? Now I'm finding myself, like tonight in Toronto, I noticed the one end that looks like, I thought there for a second it was a gigantic press box, but it's not. It just has to be a one huge wall of suites and the behind the one basket. And I don't know if it's the north side, south side of the stadium. Who knows? But I noticed it tonight for the first time. I'm obviously, it's been there since they built it, and I never really cared or paid attention to it. But now I'm really kind of paying attention to the inside architecture of these arenas because, like I said before, I got a tour of the stadium, when was it, before Christmas, and got to go look at it and get a really better idea other than just watching a video of what the inside of that place looks like. And I'm trying to compare it in my head to what it kind of stacks up with everything else. Very excited to see what this thing is going to... I'm excited to see what it feels like to watch a game there, but I'm also really excited to hear what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Like, I want to hear what it sounds like when that place is going.
Because the Bradley Center is a little cavernous. I mean, even when it's full and the fans are into it, it's still a little, you know, you feel like it'd be a little more... It's not very intimate.
No, it's definitely not intimate, but I want to make sure it's loud.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if it's intimate or not. I don't care where the people sit. I just want to make sure when everybody's cheering that it's deafening. That's what I want. Now, they have said time and time again, and I talked to a guy, the guy that gave us the tour, and he did the T-Mobile Stadium in Vegas, mm-hmm. the hockey arena.
Yep.
He's...
what about, was it Golden One in Sacramento?
I don't know if he did that one or not. I think he may have done that one too.
Because that one's in its second year.
And now these guys are doing the renovation of Seattle. Of Key Arena or whatever. How stupid is that, by the way? I told them the same thing. They're spending more money on the renovation of that arena than the Bucks are spending on a brand new arena here. Do you realize that? This arena is like $550 million or whatever it is. That renovation is like $680 million. Did you know that they are going to dig under the stadium to lower the bowl into the earth? So they're going down under the stadium to drop it.
Well, that's why it's so expensive then.
I was like, you got to be... Why wouldn't they just build a new one and just go from there? I don't know. Side story. But yeah, I'm super excited. I keep looking around and seeing the whole thing. But he was telling me, the reason I brought this up was that the sound for concerts and everything else, he doesn't think will be second to any in this country. He said from a sound quality and the way they've built it and the way they've thought everything through. He goes, I don't think there'll be any stadium that really matches this place as far as sound goes for concerts. So that is awesome. Now, will that translate over to a basketball game? We'll have to wait and find out. 131, 127, Raptors over the Bucks coming up next. We'll check in with Gary Wolfel. What do you want to do next, Mitch? Producer boy, what do you want to do?
We got to do the X Factor.
You want to do X Factor?
Yep.
All right, go ahead.
There's always something unexpected that changes the game. Here's tonight's X Factor of the game.
Brought to you by Bryant & Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in six junior college sports. Learn more at bcsbobcats.com.
Yeah, like I said, it's Thonmaker. I mean, we had to play it. Obviously, Bryant & Stratton's a sponsor. They want to get their mention on there. But Thonmaker is the X Factor of the game just as well as the Chili's MVP of the game, and it's a no-brainer. 16 points, 4 boards, hit 3 of 4 from the 3. Corner threes, too. How many times are you going to beat my corner threes, Bucks fans? Think about that. Again, last year, by the way, 10-year-old's got NBA 2K18, the ultimate team. He's got Thonmaker. Oh, man.
He's unstoppable in that game.
Yeah, he's like, he don't miss threes. Yeah, I was like, well, that was last year. I go, not this. Next year's game will be different than this year's game.
He's 7-1, so I mean, he can dunk on everybody, too. Oh, like, it's crazy.
Loves him some Thonmaker in that basketball game. All right, back after this with Gary Wolfel here on The Fan.
Now, a Bucks postgame update from fan insider Gary.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
All right, Gary Wolfel joins us now on the Great Midwest Bank Highline for the Bucks lose 131-127 to the Toronto Raptors tonight. Mr. Wolfel, what did you think of the game?
Wow, that was an impressive intro.
That's something different. What's up?
I thought it was a terrific game. I mean, it was almost similar to some of the playoff games they had last season. And if you're a basketball fan, I mean, you thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, if you're a Bucks fan, you obviously, we're disappointed, but it sure was an entertaining game.
It was an entertaining game. It took 52, obviously, from whatchamacallit. What's his name? Oh, DeMar DeRozan, that's his name. for them to obviously beat the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. But, dude, I'm really getting sick and tired of watching this team score 105, 110 points and losing games. I just drives me crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, they blew several opportunities down the stretch. I mean, what I was just kind of surprised by was ever since he arrived here, Eric Bledsoe has had a knack of making the right play at the right time down the stretch. And they had three possessions in the last 2 minutes of the game where he never even touched the ball. And one time, Dellavedova had the ball, and he threw this silly lob to Brogdon at the rim, and I'm thinking, like, this is not the right time to, you know, play to the crowd or whatever. And to me, it's like, if you have a chance to win, I want Eric Bledsoe involved in play in some manner. He reminds me quite a bit of Sam Cassell. He's got that killer mentality, and for him not to have the ball down the stretch
with
straight possessions.
No, you and I are going to disagree on this one, buddy. This is what I'll say to this. I think Sam Cassell leadership qualities during games and so forth, those are going to be tough to match by Eric Bledsoe. That's the first thing. The second thing I'll say is I think Cassell was a better shooter than Bledsoe as well. And Bledsoe is playing well as of late, don't get me wrong, but Cassell was a consistently good offensive player, and Bledsoe has been for the last couple of years as he started to figure it out a little bit here, but I'll still take Sam Cassell over Eric Bledsoe.
Well, I totally agree. I said he has some qualities like Sam Cassell. I would not equate it because, I mean, if you wanted a big shot when Sam Cassell played for the Bucks, you didn't go to Ray Allen, you didn't go to Glenn Robinson, you went to Sam Cassell. But, you know, he has had a knack, though. I mean, whether it's been hitting key baskets or making the right pass to convert down the stretch, and for whatever reason, they didn't touch him.
Gary, thanks so much for coming on. We'll talk to you again after the Bucks take on the Pacers on Wednesday night.
Sounds good. Thank you, Steve.
There he is, Gary Wolfel. 131-127 Raptors over the Bucks tonight on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Great Midwest Bank committed to
hey,
personal.
We're not done. You can stop the music. We still have something else to do. You forgot. That's okay, though. Go ahead, do the Great Midwest Bank read.
Great Midwest Bank, committed to personalized common sense lending since 1935. When you're in the market to buy, build, renovate, or refinance, discover the benefits of simply local banking. Visit greatmidwestbank.com.
So which one do we have left, Mitch?
This one.
You're listening to the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show. Now it's time to pick the ruler of the backboard. Brought to you by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza, loaded with a half pound of Wisconsin cheese. It truly is the ruler of pizza.
Well, usually every night it's Giannis. Let's see, who is it tonight? Oh, it's Giannis! Oh, man, what a shock! 9 rebounds for Giannis, ruler of the backboards. It should just be, it's his every night.
He actually out-rebounded a team, Sparky.
Every night, yeah, by
43 to 40.
Yep.
Wow.
By 3. Yep, 131-127, and like I said, I've had, you know what I got to find out? Somebody can help me. How do I get my Bucks tickets? They have billboards up all over saying if you get 2 Palermo's pizzas, you get Bucks tickets. I got 3 Palermo's pizzas. I still don't know how to get the Bucks tickets.
Did you buy them at the same time?
No. Well, yeah. I just bought them yesterday. Hmm. Or was it yesterday or 2 days ago? Yeah, 3. But I don't know. Do I get them at Pick and Save? Or do I get them through Palermo's? I don't understand.
I don't know.
And I don't...
I have seen those billboards, but I haven't tried personally. So
yeah, I've bought like 6 Palermo pizzas in the last week. I eat a lot of pizza. 131-127, the Raptors over the Milwaukee Bucks. Pacers, Wednesday night. We'll be back on the air Wednesday night. Pacers have played remarkably well, so we'll see how that all works out. Enjoy the rest of your evening. We'll talk to you next on the Wendy's Big Show. Packer coverage all day tomorrow. Chuck and Winkler starts things at 6 a.m. Bill Michaels, statewide at 10 a.m., 2 p.m. Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, myself, Riley Makloff, Ted Thompson. No longer the GM, it appears. Dom Capers is definitely no longer the defensive coordinator. What does that all mean? Hysteria among Packer Nation. That's what it means. Tune in and listen to it tomorrow, 6 a.m. Chuck Freeman, Bart Winkler. They'll both be out of their minds, guaranteed. Toodles.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.